As we reflect upon this feast of Corpus Christi, the most holy body and blood of Jesus, the church, as always, gives us certain readings to help us to enter into that celebration. Now, there's one splendid little word in that gospel reading we just listened to. It's a word that we heard in the gospel, that we hear also every day at Mass during the words of consecration. And this one little word summarizes, in a sense, everything that Jesus was trying to communicate to us through this action at the Last Supper and through his life and death on the cross. Now, this little word that summarizes for us what it means to be Christian is four. Four. Now, not the number, not F-O-U-R, but the preposition, four, F-O-R. Jesus says that this is his body and blood poured out for you, for us. It's that sense that's being communicated as he distributes the bread and wine. And it's that sense that comes through so clearly when he literally gives his life over for the rest of us on the cross. And so we think about this simple word, but it's one that, as deep as our theologians get when writing and reflecting on these mysteries of faith, they always come back to this reality. This is sort of the kernel of things. Jesus shows us that the perfection of our life is living for others, and that the deep joy of our life is in that living for others. And this feast that we have today encourages us to reflect in a particular focused way on the Eucharist, this body and blood of Jesus. This feast it's been around in our church, as we celebrate it today, since the 12th century, the 13th century rather. It was installed, we believe, to give us a time outside of Easter, outside of Holy Thursday, in which we could slow down and reflect upon the Last Supper, reflect upon Jesus' real presence in the Eucharist. Now, even though we've only been celebrating this particular feast for a mere 800 years, this belief, this practice of the Church has been there from the very beginning, as we hear in the scriptural witness in today's Gospel, Jesus giving us those words of the Last Supper that we repeat every day at Mass. You know, chapter 6 of the Gospel of John has that beautiful Bread of Life discourse, where Jesus is trying to get across to his followers, as crazy as it may seem to them, that he is giving them his very self in this body and blood. We can look to our tradition as well, and just 2 days ago we celebrated the feast of my namesake, St. Justin Martyr. So I have to give a little shout out to St. Justin, who wrote very well about the early practice of the church when they came together to worship. We want to know, what did it look like when Christians of that first and second century, when they came together, what did they do? In writing around the year 150, he describes something very similar to what we do here today. So we come together, we listen to the Word of God proclaimed. The presider then does his best to explain the Word of God. And then we gather and we receive the Eucharist. And he puts in there already in the year 150. He says, we don't take this just as a symbol, but as truly the body and blood of Christ. This, he says, is the tradition we received, and we uphold it. How encouraging, how edifying it is when we realize from the very beginning what we profess, what we receive, has been what Christians have been doing. We too are the recipients of this tradition, the benefactors of receiving Jesus in this particular way. Corpus Christi, the real presence, the Eucharist. These concepts so integral to our Catholic identity. But they're concepts that we sometimes don't always know how to explain, or they bring some confusion in our interactions with people who come from other traditions. I recall when I was in college, studying at Shepherd University, where I did my undergrad, I was taking a philosophy course, and the professor used the example of the Eucharist to make a point. And it was a valid point, a clear example. But one of my classmates, whom I didn't know very well, spoke up and just sort of wanted to take a shot at the Catholic understanding of the Eucharist. And he said, yeah, I get your point, but It's not like those crazy Catholics that think that it's really a piece of bleeding flesh up there on the altar. I mean, obviously, that's not what Jesus is doing here. His comment was a little out of place, so the professor did a good job of redirecting the conversation back to make his point. But it burned me up inside. Here I was, not yet a priest, not yet even thinking about it. But I knew I was Catholic. I knew there was something special about the Eucharist. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but when you run into a challenge to the faith or someone needs an explanation and the words just don't come, you wish you knew how to explain this aspect of your faith that you know is true, you believe it, but you're not quite able to rise to that occasion and defend what we believe. And that was the case for me in that moment. It can be very frustrating. I sat through the rest of the class thinking, well, what should I have said? And then an hour later, you're thinking of the best response that you could have come up with. If only I see that guy again. So what I did after that class was I ran off to the library and found St. Thomas Aquinas. What does he say about the Eucharist? It pointed out a certain weakness, a certain hole in my understanding of my own faith. And this can be very constructive when that happens. When we realize that we're in a situation, we're not satisfied with the answer we give. And believe me, it still happens to me now as a priest. So if you're ever dissatisfied with an answer I give you, I'll come back later and I'll try to be better. But this is something, it's important for us as Catholics. We're given this rich tradition, this rich theology, this faith. And it's okay to be lifelong learners, to recognize that, well, yes, I believe this, I'm doing it all my life, but I can still grow in my ability to understand it, to articulate it to others. Or as St. Peter says, to give a reason for the hope that we have, if anyone should ask us. When we don't know the perfect way of explaining it, sometimes we get frustrated or even defensive or a little bit aggressive with the other and end up not giving a very good witness to our faith. So this is just to say, this Feast of Corpus Christi, the central tenet of our faith, something we hold is a deep conviction. An example of one of those things we can continue to explore of how we live it, how we enter into that mystery, and if given the opportunity, how we invite others to consider that Jesus really is present here. The real presence. This mystery of our faith, the Church holds up for us today, so we contemplate this mystery. We adore it, and we even receive it. And that's the part that we can't forget. That connection between what we contemplate and adore and what we become. St. Augustine puts it eloquently, saying that when we receive the Eucharist, we become what we receive. We become what we receive. It makes it very clear that there shouldn't be this detachment between what we profess, our worship, our practice here on Sunday, and who we are when we leave these doors. This takes work. This takes attention to our spiritual lives. And also the conviction that God really is working on us. We receive His very life, His body and blood, and we let that transform us from the inside out. Something this tells us, this sacrament, the fact that Jesus leaves us something that we can look at, we can taste, we can smell, it's very tangible. It's a reminder for us that love is tangible. Love is not something abstract. So as we contemplate this mystery of the Eucharist that we receive, we also strive to emulate Jesus' love by making sure our love isn't something we just talk about. It's not something that's just abstract or there's a nice theology behind it. But it has concrete form. It takes a shape in our lives. This life that Jesus shares with us teaches us how to live for others. It's been said that the essential movement of a Christian, being a Christian, means moving from being just for myself, or being just a room full of individuals looking out for number one, to beginning to live for one another in response to this gift from God that we've been given. So what might that look like in each of our individual lives? To live less for ourselves and more for others. They're very simple things. And each of us is given different circumstances to let this love take shape. Maybe it's cleaning up the mess of a sick child in the middle of the night, or keeping someone company who's aging and lonely, or accompanying a family member or friend through a tough day, or sharing someone's joy. So many different ways that we express the love that Jesus has already shared with us. We receive his very body and blood today. May it not be something we merely talk about, but something that allows us to be transformed so that we continue his project in the world, becoming what it is that we receive.